Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you are continuing to stay tuned to Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about today the person of the work of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people that have a misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And Dr. Phelps and I have been talking about that on this portion of the broadcast. We're going to continue that dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917. Jump in. We'd love to have your input. We'd love to have your question. Perhaps you've had questions about whether or not the Holy Spirit is a force or if the Holy Spirit is a part of the triune Godhead. Everything that we find in the Scripture about the Holy Spirit indicates personality and personage and personhood, and not just an inanimate object or a force or an electricity or, as the Mormons call it in some cases, a flowing fluid like entity. As we've studied the Scripture, just a little brief thought that I have outlined, and I'll not take time to go through it because we're talking with Dr. Phelps today. Dr. Neil Phelps is one of our professors in Conservative Theological University, and I pray that as you listen, you might be prone to consider whether or not you would love to have a Bible college training if you're a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or if you're a pastor or in any area serving in ministry. You can simply dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's the number for across the nation for reaching Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, I've said in my general lectures on the subject of pneumatology in the classroom, we're selected by the Spirit. We're saved by the Spirit. We're sealed by the Spirit. We're sent by the Spirit. We're stopped by the Spirit. In fact, it's an interesting study, Dr. Phelps, and for the benefit of our listeners, the Apostle Paul was going in one direction in Acts chapter 16, and it was the Holy Spirit that intervened and stopped him, redirected him, sent him in a different direction. And as a result of that, we find the churches that he had founded, the work that he had done in that part of the world, as a result of being stopped by the Holy Spirit. We're swayed by the Holy Spirit. We're supervised by the Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit of God and the person, and the Holy Spirit of God is a part of the divine triune Trinity. Dr. Phelps, you were talking about that before our break. Continue your thoughts on that subject.
When we talk about the Spirit of God, he is of God. That is his deity. We use the word deity,
yes,
in our university and in theological terms to mean that he is God. So the Spirit of God is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son in all of their divine attributes. We find that there is this equality within the Godhead. The Bible, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and elsewhere, we read the word Godhead. God is one, but yet God is manifest in three persons, three personalities. And so we use the word deity to mean that the Spirit of God is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And then we talk about his sovereignty. He's the all-sufficient source of help. The verse I mentioned just shortly ago, Zechariah chapter 4, latter part, verse 6, not by might, not by human might, nor by earthly power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Christian life is a life in the Spirit. I was talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth, the Comforter who guides us. Paul picked up on that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he talked about how the truth is made known to us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them, that is, things of God, the truth, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And next couple of verses are important. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they, means the things of God, are spiritually discerned. So we should be thankful we have the Spirit of Truth to guide us in all things.
When you say that, Dr. Phelps, let me illustrate that for our listeners. It's very simplistic, and I'll abbreviate it for the benefit of the broadcast. The story was told, and it was a true event, of two pastors that went to a great convention. One was a neophyte. He had just surrendered to ministry, brand new pastor. And the other was seasoned, learned, and knew the word well. And they'd gone to this convention, and it was a packed house, and there was going to be some speakers, and all wanted to hear. And so when they got in, the seasoned preacher was seated on the ground floor, and the young preacher wound up having to be shuffled to the balcony. And during the first session, the first what they call the plenary session, that a speaker that was far less than conservative, Dr. Phelps, in fact, he would be considered a what I call a loose lax, lost liberal. But anyway, he was speaking, and during the course of his entire message, the seasoned preacher is concerned. He's worried because he's brought this neophyte, this brand new preacher, with him as his guest, and he's worried about his believing some of the false teachings that this preacher's teaching. And so he was concerned about that. And at the break time, they met on the ground floor, and he ran over and spoke to his young brother in Christ, his the young preacher boy, as I would call him. And he said, John, I was so worried in listening to that speaker that just finished. I was concerned that you would believe what he was saying, and most of what he was saying was not true. And the young preacher said, no. He said, as I'm listening, he said, and I'm quoting him, there was just something inside me that says, lies, 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 it's all lies. That was the Holy Spirit of God speaking to him and giving illumination on what is truth and what is false, what is real and what is unreal, what is biblical and what is unbiblical. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer.
Amen. We must rely upon the Spirit of Truth,
yes,
to know the truth. If we do not, we'll miss the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So also, let me suggest another very important role of the Holy Spirit is to indwell us, who are the people of God. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. There we read, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The same thought is repeated in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where we're told that we are the temple of God. God had promised, even in the Old Testament, that under the New Testament times, that he would come and dwell in his people. He would live in them and walk in them. And that's what is true today. In the Old Testament days, God's presence was with his people, and often the Spirit of God would come upon a man of God like Samson or Elijah, and they would then minister in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, in New Testament times, God dwells in us. We become living sanctuaries of the living God. God dwells in us. We're his dwelling place. We're the house of God walking around.
Yes.
And so we become the temple of
God. Good illustration. I like that. Yes.
So we become then the temple of God, and God dwells in us. His presence is with us by his Holy Spirit, and Christ dwells in us by faith. So we have the abiding presence of God. We're the temple of God. God then also does something through his Spirit. That is, he transforms us to the likeness of Christ.
Yes.
In the book of Romans and chapter 8, that familiar passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 27 and following, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And the next verse is the one I want us to listen to. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, meaning the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's plan and purpose for us today is to bring us to be transformed to be like Christ.
That is to look like, act like, talk like Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
We're to have the likeness of Christ.
That's right.
In every way, in our lifestyle, in our manner, our person. Also, 2 Corinthians 3:18 indicates one of the ways he accomplishes that. As we read the scriptures, we are changed to the very likeness of Christ, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit who does that work.
Yes.
He conforms us.
He conforms us. And I've used the term, Dr. Phelps, and for our listeners, they might have a little better insight on that. Just like you make Jell-O, and it is hot liquid with the flavoring in it and so forth, you pour it into a Jell-O mold, you place it in the refrigerator, and you take it out the next day and you turn that mold upside down, and the Jell-O comes out in the shape of that mold. We are to be formed in the mold, the image, to be like Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is the key to it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. To join in the dialogue and discussion today, I'd love to have you call 831-0917. We're having a dialogue and discussion with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible professors in Conservative Theological University. He teaches some of the doctrinal courses, the Bible courses, theological courses, and we are in good hands when we're speaking with him in relationship to questions and answers about especially the subject today, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Phelps, continue for a moment on that, and then I want you to be pondering what we want to do in relationship to what I think is one of the most divisive, disturbing, disruptive, disingenuous parts of the study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit that's in churches and across denominational lines in America today. I'll identify that in just a moment, but continue your train of thought for just a moment, then we'll digress.
What we've been talking about is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
Something that's so important for us is that you and I must be willing to be led, to be guided, to be taught, to receive help from this person called the Holy Spirit. We must be willing to do that.
That's right. Volitional
choice. If we're not willing, then it won't happen.
That's right. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, just a couple comments, thank you. And Isaiah, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am the last. And a reference to Jesus' references in Revelation. And now the triunity or the unity. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, and his Ruach, his Spirit, has sent me. So here's one instance in Isaiah, and there's others, where it's more clear that there is the Lord God, me, and the Ruach, the Spirit, or Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Ruach. And it seems to clearly indicate, as the Jewish translations say, blessed be his unity, that something in that unity is being unified. And like a triangle, one equal sides and equal angles, possibly, one times one still equals one. And even the Star of David, the Magen David, the Shield of Solomon, one triangle points upward. Could it be pointing the deity? And the other points downward, man's guf, nefesh, or ruach, body, soul, and spirit. And they're united because they're usually intertwined. And God did say, let us make man in our spirit after our likeness. And the us is not the plural of majesty or the plural we, like some of those that want to try to explain it away. But it does seem to indicate there's a unity or a triunity. And also in
absolutely.
The Arianic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, some say refers to the goof, the body, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Some say that's the nefesh or the soul, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Some say that's the spirit. So you have the whole triunity of mankind, the body, soul, and spirit. And the first line's three Hebrew words. Then it cascades the second line to five. Then the third line is seven, the number of perfection. So that's why some say that's the ruach, or the spirit. And they're all equal because Yahweh is used three times, the sacred tetragrammaton, the four consonants. Yes.
What you're saying is validating exactly what we've said, is that throughout the scripture you'll find God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Godhead. And as you said in the Genesis text, he's going to create us in his image, us, the indicating the triunity of the Godhead. If we're created in his image, we are triune, the body, soul, and the spirit. As we look at God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Godhead. Yeah. So there's a unity throughout all of Scripture pointing to the triunity of the Godhead.
And one last comment. You know, Deuteronomy 29 says the secret things belong unto Yahweh, but those that he reveals belong to us. Ultimately, no matter how much explaining, the triunity or the unity, or if you please, the Trinity, still it can't be fully explained, I believe. And thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call. And you're exactly right. We can explain until Jesus comes and never fully give a full explanation of the triunity of the Godhead. And this is the reason, by the way, that so many people out of hand just literally reject the triunity of the Godhead. They reject the fact that Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and that God is God. In fact, you have T.D. Jakes. He is a Jesus only, and there are many others, but I call him his name outwardly because he is one of the most famous ones that's out there. He rejects the triunity of the Godhead. He's a Jesus only. There's no such thing as a Trinity. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. This is Brother Davis.
Brother Davis, good morning. I hope you're doing well, brother.
Yes, sir. Everything is well. Speaking from my own experience, when I became a new convert, I think the greatest desire that every new convert should have in the church, which would continue to be helpful to the body of Christ on today, is to have that hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
And once you do that, then you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then that's the thing that enables us to dwell in the truth and be an instrument so that God can use us in the world to combat the ignorance and the falsehood that's going on out there.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. That's a good statement, Brother Davis, and I'm thankful for that. Keep on keeping on in the Word. I am always thankful to see those growing in the Word. One of the things that you made mention of that I might elaborate on further, it is very, very clear, in fact, in Psalms 139 and in verse 7, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? And it is the presence, ever presence, everywhere of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, sir, thank you so much for your call and for your input on the broadcast today. Dr. Phelps, one of the things that people talk about is being filled with the Spirit. We got just a few minutes to go, so I want to talk about this for the balance of our time. Being filled with the Spirit, there are many fillings, but there's one baptism. Never will forget, I've had a number of people down through the years at different occasions and different people of different theological backgrounds and persuasions. Never will forget, one of them said, well, Dr. Youngblood, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, ma'am. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's a question that I need to challenge us, all of our listeners, with today. There's one baptism, but many fillings. Would you explain that to our listeners, Dr. Phelps? One baptism, but many fillings.
We're told in the scriptures that when we are converted, at the time of conversion, we're being born again, that the Spirit of God comes to live in us and seals us in the day of redemption. At the same time, the Bible tells us that we're baptized or placed or united with Christ. And I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, that's a human body, and has many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13 is important. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And we're told also in that chapter, verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. We become members of the body of Christ as the Spirit of God places us in Christ. We're baptized into Him.
Let's talk about that. Him. Being baptized, the little word baptizo, it means to immerse. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about being baptized by the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit, that's not some supernatural, unusual, la-la land phenomena that you're talking about. Because when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, when we invite Christ to come into our heart and save us, we are immersed, we are baptized, we're placed in Christ. In fact, Dr. Phelps, that's a wonderful symbol that we see in water baptism. In Romans chapter 6, you might have that, you can share that with us. Romans chapter 6, it talks about the fact that we are baptized in Christ to be buried with Him in baptism, be raised up to walk in newness of life.
Yes.
And that simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that when we have water baptism, we are immersed, baptizo, placed in, placed under the water, raised back up. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we're buried with Him in baptism. We're baptized, we're immersed in Christ. And that's the simplistics of it. And I'm not trying to oversimplify that, Dr. Phelps. There are a lot of people, though, that say, well, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and therefore I can speak in tongues, and I can leap tall buildings with a single bound. I can crawl around on the floor and grovel like a dog, and the Holy Spirit of God is doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's false, that's farce, that's phony, that is out of a loose, lax, lost mindset that will say that, because that's not what being baptized in the Holy Spirit is about. Now, Dr. Phelps, it's important for the baptism, one baptism, we're saved once and for all. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we're saved, 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 not to be lost again. But as we walk in the Spirit, we're being filled with the Spirit and a constant filling. Talk about that necessary, the necessity of being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit.
When we read in the book of Ephesians, the command, the imperative that's given in Ephesians 5, verse number 18, reads, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that phrase can be understood to mean continually.
Yes.
Be continually filled with the Spirit.
And how do we do that?
One of the ways that we can continually be filled with the Spirit is to stay in the Word of God.
Yes.
And the following verses there, Ephesians 5 and verse 20, 19 and 20 and 21 and so forth, gives us some very important words. In Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And that doesn't mean to be under the influence of spirits in a bottle. Rather,
right.
To be under the control of the Holy
that's
Spirit.
Right. That's
the Spirit
exactly
of God.
Right.
And that's the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's sanctifying.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's delighting in the Word of God. Verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I believe that's referring to the matter of faith. We're delighting in the Word of God, in the Word of truth. You remember that in the book of Acts, a man by the name of Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They kind of go together. All believers are indwelt with the Spirit, but not everyone is filled with the Spirit.
Right.
It's something you must desire and want and allow God to make that work and happen in your life. Verse 19 again, when it says, speaking to yourselves, that's something that's enlightening to us, rehearsing the Word of God or verbalizing the things of God, thinking upon the Word of God. And verse 19, it says, also singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's rejoicing. Rejoicing happens in my life and yours when we're in the Word of God and when we allow the Spirit of God to be in control of our lives. I want you to listen to a passage in Romans chapter 14 that tells us how that works. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And that means that you and I can have rejoicing in our lives, joy in our lives. God says in Psalm 32, verse 11, that we're to rejoice in the Lord. And then verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks unto always for the things, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for all things. That's supplication. That is allowing the Spirit of God to pray for others and give thanks and be in thanksgiving. Verse 20 again, giving thanks always. Thanksgiving is always a part of a person who's walking with God. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Submit means to give up your rights as you defer those to another, to allow the will of God to govern and not self-will and the fear of God. And so those are things that speak of being filled with the Spirit. You see, what we do naturally of the flesh is one thing, but what we do supernaturally in the Spirit is another. Be filled with the Spirit and live as God designed for Christians to live.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, one of the things a person might ask the question, how can I be filled with the Spirit? It is as we walk in the Spirit, as we grieve not the Spirit, as we do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit, as we do those things, we're constantly being filled with the Spirit. But ladies and gentlemen, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is a constant thing, a continual thing, as we stay in the Word, as we study the Word, meditate on the Word, and allow the Word of God to fill us and use us and wield us. But the Holy Spirit of God does not have anything to do with what we call the supernatural things where you can speak in tongues, ecstatic utterances, and we can get into that in another subject at another time. But that is not the connotation of the being filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not cause one to act ugly and crawl around on the floor and do things that's so unusual and antithetical to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.